The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up,
there's something very odd about Texas, and I'm from Texas, and we're in a studio here in Texas. And listen, that doesn't have to mean anything to you. I'm just going to tell you they're strange people, and the reason why I can tell you that is because I was raised in Arkansas. This is the most important thing you could be next to saved as a Texan to my husband Keith. And so he's just, see how it is. I'm sorry, but this is how it is.
Ecstatic joy, next.
Like a shining city set on a hill. You look like lights on the lampstand out here. Hopefully you do. Don't let the light be covered by anything. That's what Jesus said. He's the light of the world. We are lights in this world. Do not let the light be covered, not by party, not by denomination or sectarian divides or ethnicity that would divide. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. Wednesdays with Beth. You are going to enjoy what Beth is teaching. Let me give you the title, From Cast Down to Ecstatic Joy. Now, you know that Beth has joy. Boy, is she energetic? Is she exuberant? But she also knows what it is to be in a pit, to be defeated, to understand the importance of breaking free and the absolute necessity of God enabling us to break through and have joy. Here is Beth Moore. Enjoy her.
I am presently married to Ancestry.com, and I don't know what has happened. But all of a sudden, my husband has gotten interested in finding out all about the lineage of his family. And it was very important. Now, no telling where you're listening. You may be in another country besides the U.S. You may be in all sorts of regions of the world. But I'm going to tell you, there's something very odd about Texas. And I'm from Texas. And we're in a studio here in Texas. And listen, that doesn't have to mean anything to you. I'm just going to tell you they're strange people. And the reason why I can tell you that is because I was raised in Arkansas. So I'm not, my husband, anytime I say that, my husband says to me, I forgive you. Because it's just like, I'm really teasing. But he's just like, this is the most important thing you could be next to saved as a Texan to my husband, Keith. And so, he's just, see how it is? I'm sorry, but this is how it is. And so you can ask James and Betty about this. It's a big deal, very big deal. So Keith was so happy to learn that his ancestry literally goes back to the time when, you don't even know that this is a fact, but Texas used to be its own nation. Now, listen, most of them think it still is. But it is not. It is not. And I told him, I said, well, because I moved here in high school, I said, my kids are going to do their little ancestry and find out when we came on my side of the family to Texas. And they're going to go, well, it was 1972. So long after. But in all of this, I can't tell you how many things he has read to me. And most of them, it's just, I don't know how to explain it because I love my husband. And I get a very, very big kick out of him. But somehow this just puts me to sleep. I can't really explain why. But it's just, I don't know. I don't care that much about great-great-grandfather Jedediah. I don't know. I just don't. But I try to, but we're just so into it. And so, but he did interest me here recently when he told me a very unfortunate occurrence that happened to his great-grandfather's father. I think it was his great-grandfather's grandfather. That's how many years this goes back. That in that family, one of his ancestors was struck by lightning. And that, let me quickly say, that is a terrible thing and not the part I was so happy about. What made me happy was that it just so happened that when the lightning struck, I'm sorry that I have the kind of sense of humor that would think this is just a little... Listen, they've long since been with the Lord. Thank you, God. They're complete in heaven. There's no insult to them. But the person was in an outhouse when it happened. I'm just saying. I didn't make it up. It's my husband's own ancestry. Here, are you ready for the worst part of all? It was a woman. I mean, that needs to be a man, not a woman. Can you just imagine? I mean, because if you're like me, like, I don't even like to tell my husband when I'm going into the ladies' room. I just do a lot of hiding like this. You know, still after all these years, I really am very modest about that kind of thing. Picture that, like, everybody's been going, where's Maud Ann? She's been gone a while. Where is she? And, like, is there a lock on it or anything? How long did they have to get a hatchet? What happened? Did they hear it happen? I mean, was there anything left? I don't know. This is how my imagination works. But I'm just going to tell you that if we were the sons of Korah in the days of, say, David, and then the Intertestament period, if any of these had been looking back and had been able to get on a site like Ancestry.com, they would have to turn back to Numbers chapter 16, and somebody would be in an outhouse. That's all. That's all I'm saying. So, Numbers chapter 16, this is where the story of the sons of Korah begin. This is the original Korah, Numbers 16, 1 through 11. Now, let me tell those that have just joined in with us what we've been doing in our series, because this is a continuation of it. And we've been talking about, number one has been that the trip from cast down, if you're in a cast down place right now, you need to know that the trip from cast down to ecstatic joy can be a whole lot quicker than you think. That was our first point in our last series. Secondly, we learned together that we start getting up when we start asking why we're down. We ask God, I mean, what is going on in here? What is the root of this? We start asking questions. And in fact, we learn that we're going to keep asking questions till we get to the very one He's been driving us to ask so that He can answer it. Then thirdly, our escorts toward ecstatic joy are light and truth. And so this builds right on this series as we look back at this ancestry in Numbers 16, verse 1. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben. This is the very reason why Numbers is a little bit challenging. Amen? I mean, like, I love in Genesis where it calls them Buzz and Uz. I like that. There's a part in Genesis where the sons, the brothers were Buzz and Uz. I like that kind of stuff. I don't know what went wrong here. Verse 2, and it says, they rose up. Now, this is Korah. You got to see that from the very beginning in verse 1. And Korah and these men who will not name again, they rose up before Moses with a number of the people of Israel, 250 chiefs of the congregation chosen from the assembly. This is important. Well-known men. They assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, you have gone too far, for all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then? Now, they're asking this to Moses and Aaron. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? When Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he said to Korah and all his company, I don't know when, because he like went face down. I don't know if he's face down, still going, you have no idea what you're talking about. Or if he's now just brushed himself off, gotten back up. He fell on his face and he said to Korah and all his company, in the morning, the Lord will show who is his and who is holy. And he will bring him near to him. And the one whom he chooses, he will bring near to him. Do this. takes censers, Korah and all his company, put fire in them, and put incense on them before the Lord tomorrow, and the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the Holy One. And he says, I love this, because don't we do this sometimes in our conflict where one says something and the other one says it right back to him? And it says, remember when it says that they said to Aaron and Moses, you have gone too far? Listen to Moses say it back, because he said in just at the very end of verse 7, you have gone too far, sons of Levi. And Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it too small a thing for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he has brought you near him and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you? And would you seek the priesthood also? Therefore, it is against the Lord that you and all your company have gathered together. What is Aaron that you grumble against him? In other words, he says, your problem is with God. It is not with us. Now, I want you to just lock in on this a minute, because this is the first place Korah pops up on the face of Scripture. And it would have been notorious. This is true infamy in the people of God. I mean, that name would have carried on from generation to generation to generation. In fact, in the New Testament, in the tiny book of Jude that is right before Revelation, Jude refers to the sins of Korah. The rebellion of Korah, Korah's rebellion. And so we ask ourselves, what in the world was Korah's rebellion? Well, we have a name for it in our culture today, and it's a very important word, because it's something we need to face up to continually, and it's called entitlement. You are seeing, like on the pages of Scripture, the birth of this thing we call entitlement. When somebody looks around and says, you know, I'm too big for the job you have given me. I'm more than this. I need more respect than this. We're built up. I'm not cynical about our culture. Many, many wonderful things are happening, certainly in the body of Christ, certainly in the testimony of Jesus throughout the world. Certainly, so much is happening on the kingdom calendar. But let me tell you, we got some ills in our carnal culture, and one of them is that it is raising up people with entitlement. Now, entitlement was that very specific, that exact strain of pride that was pent up in the heart of Lucifer. Because if you do a little looking in Scripture and you compare Ezekiel 28 and then Isaiah chapter 14, you're going to see in Ezekiel 28, you're going to this oracle against the king of Tyre. Only when you look at it, and this happens in prophetic Scripture, when you look at it, it not only has an immediate kind of a bearing on the king of Tyre, but ultimately it's talking about Lucifer himself. How do we know? Because he says, you were there from the very beginning. You were in the Garden of Eden. Well, the king of Tyre was not in the Garden of Eden. It begins to talk about the jewels that were a part of his very person. Well, that would not so much be, as you look at the history, how long he's talking about this chronological order of this person he's addressing in Ezekiel 28. I mean, it is Lucifer. It is the fallen one from heaven. And something very, very interesting comes out of that portion of Scripture when you compare that part of Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah chapter 14. Because it says, listen, you were perfect in all your beauty until unrighteousness was found in you. And it says that you were corrupted because of your beauty, that it was a pride issue. Well, when we get to Isaiah chapter 14, we find out there exactly what happened. What was it that was the straw that broke the camel's back and that kicked the enemy, our enemy now, out of the heavenlies? And it was because, as much as he was the anointed cherub, Ezekiel 28. Says. And yet in Isaiah chapter 14, he said, I will be raised above the holy mountains, above the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. In other words, Scripture said he was on the holy mountain of God. He didn't want to be on the mountain. Now, when it talks about a cloud in Scripture where God is concerned, the cloud is the cover of His glory, because man could not look upon His glory, so it was constantly covered in clouds. Even when He returns, according to Revelation chapter 1, He will come in the clouds. Why? Because it will be such a mournful sight when we look upon that kind of glory that, I mean, it will hurt the bones. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Mortality can hardly live through a look at God. If anyone sees His face, they can't live through it, the Old Testament scriptures tell us. And so He comes covered with these clouds. Well, this is when Lucifer goes, I want above the clouds. I want to be like the Most High. What's so interesting, it was the only thing that he was withheld. He was an anointed cherub, beautiful, perfect. I mean, he'd just been formed to perfection. And an angel, not this, this is not Jesus. This is not Jesus's brother. This is an angel. But I mean, he's the ultimate angel. But it wasn't enough to be the ultimate angel. It wasn't enough to be the anointed cherub on the holy mountain of God there in the Garden of Eden. It was not enough. He wanted to be like the Most High. Entitlement. That is where entitlement was born into the history of man. And every single time we take that on, we are never more like the enemy of our souls. That is the sin of Lucifer. That is the fallen angel's sin, the very one that said, I want the thing that has been withheld from me. I want to be like the Most High. The essence of you and I living in the Spirit, if you and I are going to do what God has called us to do, we will be in a situation, one way we're going to know is it's going to be more than we can do. It's going to be more than we can do. In other words, we're going to constantly, if we are operating in our full-on gifting, in our full-on calling, we will constantly be telling the Lord, I am not big enough for this job. So you see how opposite this is? Because we'll constantly be saying, because whatever your calling is, you cannot do it in your flesh. You cannot do it in your human gifting. You can only do it in the Spirit. It can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Spirit so that He can do it through you. So the true heart before God, the authentic heart before God says, listen, I'm not up for this. This is more than I can do.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
See, getting honest, and Beth's a straight shooter. I think one of the reasons our viewers tell us they enjoy Betty and James is that we are vulnerable, we're open. Betty says, I'm far too open.
Transparent.
You know, our kids will say, oh, Dad, don't talk about this. But old Dad is an open book. But you see, when we get honest and say, I can't handle it, and we had to say that after losing our daughter, we're not up to this. We're cast down. We don't understand, but God is the only one who can lift our heads and look into His face and know that He is able to deliver us, to comfort us, to set us free. I'll tell you something else He's able to do. He's able to use us to release His life, to express love, to show people what God the Father and Jesus the Son is like. Because He sent the Holy Spirit to live in us to express the heart, nature, will of God. I want to show you one of the best ways to express the will of God. And I want you to look very closely at these little faces. And you just see if God wants to show them how much He loves each one of them through you. Watch closely.
It's not a new problem, and it's easy to be overwhelmed by its size. So many statistics laid before us. Of course, they're important, but as we look at numbers, we can sometimes lose sight of what's behind them. So what is behind these numbers among those masses? Well, there's Martino, Bronco, Vida, Adelina, Antonia, Rosidaya, Victoria, Maria, Sabina, Ana Paula, Mateo, Generosa, Adriana, Dina, Nana, Neza, Paula, Ezekiel, Jindinya, Fernanda, Esperanza, Elena, Mayodi, Estari, Ayosa, Cecilia, Titina. When it comes to numbers, the most important of all may be 1. Just start by helping 1.
Oh boy, the most important. Can I take it one step further? Not just the one in need of help, but the one who will help. The one who will be the difference maker by choosing to make a difference in one life or several. I don't know what happens to you when you look at those children, but as I look at those little faces, I saw one there in the line that looked shy. And I thought, how precious, you were shy. I was shy. People find that hard to believe about me. It was truly a miracle of God that the kid who would never give a report in class suddenly began to speak to millions with a boldness that could only come from God. One that was noticed by God, but as I noticed him and looked, I found myself saying, I wish others would see him the way I'm looking, and I felt like I sensed the Lord whispering, I just wish they would look at him the way I look at him. I love them all. Gave my life for them, and I've asked you to share life with them. That's what we're asking you to do. Our program is Life Today because we want to share life with you every day and touch you with life and love and truth and let you know God cares about you, but also encourage and inspire you to share that love with little children like that. It's not just a statistic, not just numbers who perish or who are hungry, but the numbers that we can feed. And Betty, our viewers have been the answers to the prayers of missionaries and parents praying for their children all over the world. And I believe you will be during this last week now of mission feeding, this time of the year, when we need your help to feed 400,000 children and add 25,000 more that we found who are starving. They desperately need our help. And we've got a miracle matching gift that just came, a $500,000 challenge gift that will match what you give today. And Betty, I'm praying every viewer will give.
James, I'm so grateful for each one of our viewers, every one of you that have been a part of what Life Outreach has been able to do, the children we've been able to reach, like these children. God does care about every one of them, just as He cares about you. So join with us again and again. Don't get tired of us asking, because we'll keep asking, because there's a need. Please join with us and let's help these children.
I know some of you know that Betty took a little time off, quite behind the loss of our daughter, Robin, need a little time to regroup. But I'm going to tell you something. We love that girl, the mother of three teenagers, our baby girl. What a way to spend Christmas and New Year's. Can I tell you something? I doubt if there's a viewer watching that wouldn't have said, Betty and James, if I could have brought your Robin something that would make her well, we'd have brought it. And I believe you. I believe you. Well, I'm telling you, there's something that'll make those children well. It's nourishment and food and the love the missionaries offer. But listen to me. Please listen to me. They're full hearts and empty hands if we don't put the ability in the hands of the missionaries. They are ready and in place. We got to give them the food. And this last week, I'm asking every one of you to respond. I want you to give the best gift you can. It'll be double. If you could help us care for 100 children with a $1,000 gift, do it. We'll be able to feed them for several months. It'll be double to 200. 30, 50, or 100, 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. It'll be doubled. Would you go to the phone, use your bank card like a check, or go online, lifetoday.org. Make the best gift you can. If you write a check, make it to Life. That's what you're giving. But call us and tell us what you're sending. Would you do it, please? If you get a busy, be determined, press through, and say, I am going to share the life and love of God today. Please do it. And I thank you for it.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to severe hunger. You can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a child's life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in our feeding program throughout Africa, we must immediately provide for an additional 25,000 children in the hardest hit areas of drought. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $500,000 matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children can be double to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children can be double to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children can be double to help feed and introduce Jesus to 20 children. As a thank you, we would like to send you a good word for a great day, a 365-day devotional providing a word of inspiration and promise for each new day. With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible to help engage your children and grandchildren in God's Word. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I want to remind you, this is the last week, and I'm going to hold up once again the Brotherly Love bronze. This is a commemorative bronze. If you've not made your reservations, and you have to do that. Matter of fact, we'll feed you, all of us there together at the conference, July 18 to 20. Go online, lifetoday.org, get the information, register. Don't miss it. You don't want to miss these speakers that are going to be there. Brotherly Love is a commemorative bronze showing what we're doing, enabling an older brother who needs nourishment himself to feed a little brother. And he's got a bowl and it's not empty. Ask for this. Help us, if you will, feed 100 children for the next month, and it'll be double to 200 because we've got the matching gift. The last week, do all you can to help, and we thank you for it.
Tomorrow on Life Today, author of the best-selling book, Not a Fan, Kyle Eidelman challenges us to identify the false gods at war in our lives. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.